Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you that your word is settled in heaven. And we thank you, Father, that your word is immutable. It is unchanging. And we thank you for that. Thank you that your word has been planted in our heart, and we've come to water it this evening. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for unfolding the Word of God to us. And as we open our hearts to it, we thank you that you will reveal more to us. And as we cherish it and we act upon it, we thank you that more will be given to us. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this country. We thank you that the devil's power is broken over it. We thank you, Father, that the devil's power is broken over this county of Rockland and that Jesus is Lord. And we thank you, Father, that the devil's power is broken over this ministry. And we thank you, Father, that everything that you've designed for this ministry shall be accomplished without hindrance and without stopping us. And we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we give you all the praise this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. I'm going to continue and pick up where I was last week. We were talking about God's garden, and I just want to continue with that. So let's kind of review just a little bit here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, one of the things that Brother Hagin shared during his life as a minister, he shared something that was, I guess you could call it profound, I guess you could say, but it was something that, in my opinion, is straight out of the Word of God. He said, why people don't get better results in their faith. He said the reason is because they reject the watering process. That was something that Brother Hagin shared when he was alive. He said when they hear the word the first time, they're excited and rejoice. Rejoice. That is the planting process. The second and third time, our minds want to say, I know that already. I know that. And he said, they reject the watering process, or he puts it, the repetitive process. That's what he called it, the watering or repetitive repetition process. So as we're going to see here, we'll go over to 1 Corinthians 3 in a moment, or back up to 1 Corinthians 3. But there's planting, and then there's watering, and then God gives the increase. So there's going to be that process of planting and watering, planting and watering, and planting and watering. And we need to be aware of that and not get, you know, as they say in the English language, antsy. Antsy for the harvest. You know, the harvest is going to come if we plant and water and plant and water. The harvest has to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 19, and we're going to look at verse 19 and 20. It says in the King James, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, who's in us, the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, this body and this spirit belong to God. If we've been born again, he owns it. He owns the title deed on us, right? So, even if, you know, if you leave this earth before Jesus returns, right? The body is still his, right? He's keeping track of it. It may go into the ground. It may decay. Your spirit is with the Lord. But he said when he returns, right? The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and what? That means this body's going to rise and be made incorruptible, because it's corruptible, right? We're going to put on a new body, so our body's going to match this spirit, right? Our spirit's not corruptible. It's been made brand new. It's redeemed. Well, then our body's going to be at some point. It's going to be redeemed. But he owns it. He owns this temple, this body and this spirit. Let's back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at starting in verse 6. This is Paul now speaking to the church of Corinth. He said what? I have what? Planted. Apollos watered, right? And if you look at, Apollos was, you can go back and look in Acts chapter, I think it's 18 or somewhere around in that area. He said he was a mighty teacher of the word. He was mighty, a teacher of the word. So he did what? He watered. He watered. He came in behind Paul. So Paul planted, right? Which, you know, again, if you're, you know, when you talk about an apostle may go into an area where there hasn't been any planting. So he went in and planted in an area, and then Apollos came back in and did what? He came with him, and they watered. And it said, but who gave the increase? But God gave the increase. Or, in some words, when you look that word up, it means to enlarge. So God gives the increase. That word means to enlarge. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So what he's saying here is that planting and watering, let's not place importance. Oh, you're more important than the person that waters. He's saying you're both one. You both have the same equal status, so to speak. He said those that plant and those that water are one. They're the same, right? But it's God that gives the increase. And then verse 9, it says in the King James, for we are what? Laborers together with what? With God. And it says, ye are God's husbandry. You know, we don't talk like that anymore. It says, and it says, ye are God's building. That's what we just got done reading in chapter 6. I'm his building, his body, his spirit, my body, my spirit. It's his building, his temple, right? But husbandry, that word just means garden. It means a farm or a garden. We don't talk like that. Thank God. You're like, what does that mean? Right? And actually, if you look at the New Living Translation, it says, you're God's field. That's what it means. It just means I'm his garden, his field, and that this field, this spirit of mine, this garden, is where imperishable seed was planted. That's what it talks about in 1 Peter 1. It says, being born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So this garden, this is God's, and it was meant, right? This garden was meant to receive his seed, so that it could produce a harvest, right? Produce a harvest of his word. So all the seeds in God's garden need to be watered. See, all the seeds not only just need to be, you know, they need to be planted, but they need to be watered. And Jesus said in the parable of the sower, and we'll turn over there in a moment, but he said in the parable of the sower that seed that was sown on stony ground, as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because there was what? No moisture. There was no moisture, no watering. So Jesus said the seed had no root. So if the seed is going to grow, the ground must be kept moist. That means there's got to be constant watering of the Word of God to keep this seed that's been planted watered and moist, right? Hallelujah. So it's because of the constant watering that, the lack, I guess you could say, that many of God's plants are withered instead of growing. So because of the lack of watering, many of God's plants are withering instead of growing. They're withering away. And so we can see that, you know, in environments that, and you could be your own life. If you're not, I remember this is years and years ago, we had a motivational speaker who was here, a Christian. His name was Bob Harrison. And he said something that just come to mind. He said this little snippet. He said, if you're in lack, then there's slack. And I thought, well, that's true. See, he said, if you're lacking, you're slacking. Right? So it's just a true statement. You know, you just think about it. If you lack exercise, something gonna happen. Right? You may increase in an area that you didn't want to increase, right? So if you're slacking in an area, you're lacking exercise maybe, right? So I'm just making that point. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if there's lack of water, then there's what? Lack of harvest. So we just need to be aware that the garden, this is another point that I'm just making here, a garden is a place of growth. It's not a place of lack. And this garden is my spirit. It was meant to produce. This garden is a place of growth, or a garden is a place of growth, right? And he said, we are God's husbandry. We're his garden. So the garden, that's why when you think about this, I mean, that's such a profound statement, that a garden is a place of growth. That's why Jesus spent so much time. He had a real problem with things that didn't produce, didn't he? He had a real problem with it. I mean, he cursed the fig tree, he said, because there was no fruit on it. So if we are his husbandry, if we are his garden, we are designed to produce a harvest. And he's given us his word, his seed, which is what? Imperishable, it's immutable, it's impossible of not producing results. The seed is. So the seed, if it's put in this spirit, it will produce. That's why when it talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Right? So we just have to be aware of that my spirit is God's, and it's designed to produce. It's designed to bring forth a harvest. Harvest of healing, harvest of prosperity, harvest of salvation, harvest of whatever his word is designed. That's why when we talk about seed, and it talks about, and it's not used, that Greek word is not used the same in all, but when it talks about in 1 John, when it talks about turn over there for a second, 1 John 3 and 9, I want to stay on track. I don't want to get way off here, but let's just take a look at this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God, that's us, doth not commit sin. Well, it doesn't mean you never miss it. The New Living says doesn't practice sin. See, when you practice something, that means you're involved in something, right? You're practicing it. Well, this means here not to commit sin. It just means you're not comfortable doing that. But what does it say? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That just means his seed, his incorruptible seed, his immutable seed is in me, and I'm not comfortable doing this. I may have missed something, but I'm like, yuck. Right? Because his seed remaineth in me. That word seed is the word sperma in the Greek. That's where we get the word sperm from. When they talk about his seed, his DNA is impregnated in the seed. So the seed will produce after its own kind. That's what we read in the book of Genesis. So when it talks about the seed remaineth in me, his very nature is in that seed, in the Word. He's the Word. So that means when we talk about healing, when I get enough of God's seed, the sperm of God's seed, I get that in my spirit, sickness can't stay here. It can't stay here. If I do what? I keep watering it. It's not just planting the seed, because what happens? We've got three kinds of ground that did not produce. It didn't produce. And so we can see. One was on the wayside, right? And you know, when we read the parable part of it, not the part that was unfolded by Jesus, but if you look at Luke chapter 8, it said the seed was trodden down. It was trodden down. That word trodden means to disdain, figuratively it means that. That means you're like, nope. Not for me. You reject it. That's what that means. So we'll look a little further in that, but the point we're talking about here in looking at seed and the seed of God's word being imperishable and it continuing to be watered, my spirit will produce healing. The healing is in the seed. And the healing is in the word. And if I get the word down here and I keep watering it, and watering it, I'm going to produce a harvest of healing. I'm going to produce it. This spirit will produce healing. Life will produce in my spirit, and it'll push darkness out. It'll push the darkness out, the sickness out. It'll make my body function properly. It'll make organs work that weren't working right. Because health is in the seed. Healing is in the seed. Hallelujah. It will produce a harvest. If, like Brother Hagin said, we keep the repetition process, we keep watering, we keep watering. We don't go, yeah, I can quote that verse. It's not about quoting a scripture. It's about the revelation of a scripture and the producing of a harvest. And you walking, as the Amplified talks about, health and healing. It says you will have health and healing. What is health? Well, you need to be healed. You're healed. But health means I'm walking in divine health. Everything's on is kicking, right? All the spark plugs are working, right? Everything's functioning. My youth is being renewed. Amen. That's what that means. Everything's working. Right? So, one thing here, share some scriptures. You don't have to turn, you can write them down if you want. But when we talk about a garden and something producing, right, something needs to do what? If it's in a garden and it's producing, it's growing, right? Now just think about the scripture. This particular scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. What's growing? Your faith is growing. Now, you could say faith in healing, faith in love, but your faith is growing. It's not shrinking, it's growing. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, watering, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is growing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So faith growing means watering. Isn't that what the scripture says? Every man has been given a measure of faith. That's planting. But then it's going to increase by how? Watering. It's going to increase. Faith is going to increase by watering. That means we've got to hear it and do what? Faith is dead if you don't do what? Act on it. So you've got to hear it and then act on it. And that's part of the watering process. That's part of the watering process. 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. So, again, just to recap, we are God's field in which his incorruptible seed is planted, watered, it germinates, it grows, and it does what? Brings forth a harvest. That's what these spirits were designed to do. It was designed to receive his seed and to produce a harvest. And we're talking about healing here, right? But that's the process. That's the process. So the seed must be watered and is as necessary as planting. So the watering is just as necessary as the planting. So again, the growing comes after the watering, or the harvest, the increase comes. God giveth the increase. That comes after the watering, the planting, the watering, the increase. So don't get, you know, if you're walking through something, you're looking for change in your body, don't get impatient, because it's faith and patience where you inherit the promises. You keep getting the watering. Keep getting the watering. I don't care how long. Keep getting the watering. Keep speaking the word. Keep taking the word in your mouth. We believe and therefore we what? Speak. And so we keep the word ever present in our hearts and mouth. And the watering process is going to continue. And there's going to come a harvest. Has to. Hallelujah. There's coming a harvest. So God's works, or you could say his potential, is what? In the seed. His works, his potential, is in the seed. It's in the seed. And so, you know, I was sharing this Sunday. I don't know if I shared it here. I may have shared it. I think I shared it here last week. I was just curious, you know, just curious to know, what's the oldest seed that they ever found or discovered and planted and germinated and produced something? And so you can look it up. I mean, it's just a simple Google search, oldest seed to germinate. It's real simple. And it said the oldest seed, the oldest mature seed that was sown or grown into a viable plant was a Judean date palm seed, about 2,000 years old. And this was interesting because when we were on the Israel trips, we went here. So it said it was recovered from excavations at Herod the Great's palace on Masada in Israel. So they found a seed in those excavations. And obviously they must have carbon dated or whatever, but they said that they were able to, it was germinated, this is what they wrote, it was germinated in 2005, and so it produced, 2,000 years old. So they found another seed, this was another one, this is another account, that surpassed that. They said this is the oldest plant ever to be regenerated. They had a picture of it. They said it was grown from a 32,000-year-old seed, beating this seed that was 2,000 years old. So they said this was encased in ice. It was in Siberia, in Russia. Said it was encased in ice 124 feet beneath the permafrost. And they said this thing was encased, and they found, I guess, other seeds, but this particular seed grew. It was germinated. And it grew into a plant with a flower on it. So, seed, again, think about this. Seed has the potential in it to produce, but it's got to be planted in the right conditions. It's got to be planted in the right conditions. And then it's got to be watered and nurtured, right? And so it's the same thing with God's seed. It was designed to be planted where? In His garden. His garden, not some other garden. It was designed, His seed was designed to be planted in the heart of man. I mean, that's exciting to me. He didn't leave us out there just trying to fend for ourselves. He put His very nature in the seed to be planted in us, to produce His results, these great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Everything that was, that's when it says we were bought with a price. So this price that was paid was so that the seed could be received in the heart of man. So let's take a quick look. I want to look at something else here. I was thinking about this, talking about seed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we know this particular scripture starting in verse 6. It says, but this I say, I'm reading from the King James. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now we're talking about giving, but think about it in the area of healing here, what we're talking about. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Just think about that. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's the same where healing is concerned. You sow a little bit, you reap a little bit. But you cannot sow, just think about this, you can't sow a little harvest, or a little seed, and get a bountiful harvest. You can't sow a little seed and expect a bountiful harvest. Conversely, you can't sow a bountiful amount of seed and expect a small harvest. It doesn't work that way. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. That means if I sow bountifully in this area, and I keep listening to the word and watering and watering and watering and watering, I am going to reap a bountiful harvest in the area of healing. I have to. Because that's what he just said. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So if I keep sowing and watering and sowing and watering, I am going to reap a bountiful harvest in the area of healing, and I'm going to walk, at some point, I'm going to walk in divine health. I'm going to walk in divine health because what? I didn't sow sparingly. I sowed bountifully. And I'm expecting a bountiful harvest. Now, turn over to Mark 24. Mark 4, verse 24. So imperishable seed brings about imperishable results. Imperishable seed, God's seed, brings about imperishable results. Spiritual results. And the seed cannot be changed. It can't be altered. It's settled. The seed is the Word of God. It can't be altered. So Mark 4, starting in verse 24, I think I may want to read this. You can follow along, but I think sometimes it's easier to read in a modern translation. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Mark 4, verse 24. It says, "Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen," see, this answers the question about the parable of the sower. You know, when it talks about the seed that was sown by the wayside and understandeth it not. And this answers it right here in Mark 4. It says, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more." So that means the more I water the healing seed, the more I water it, more understanding will be given, more insight and revelation will be given. And then what happens when you get more revelation? It means you act on what you see and know. See, some people keep reading the Word and they go, "I don't know, I don't get that yet. I don't understand it." So they don't act on it, you see. But when revelation comes, what happens? You act on it. You see it. You say, I see that. I got it. I got it. I see it. And you act on it. So this says here, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Verse 25, it says, "Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." See? So that's why we need to keep watering, watering, and watering. Verse 26, Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens." We don't understand. God gives the increase. God is giving the increase. He's making it to grow. Verse 28, "The earth produces the crops on its own." The ground is what? The spirit. "First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer," who's the farmer? He's the husbandman. This is, God is the farmer. He's the one that owns us, right? He's the farmer. "Comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Jesus said, 'How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Ooh, boy. This is the Passion Translation. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear.'" Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. "For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Yeah, that's strong. And so it goes on. But one of the things here, when it's talking about the seed, the mustard seed being planted, it's being the smallest of all seeds, but becoming the largest and growing out large branches, and the birds make their nests in its shade. Just think about this, that seed that's planted, whether it's healing, whether it's salvation, just think about the potential when it talks about a seed has the potential in it to produce. Just think about this. You take an acorn and you put it in the ground. It produces an oak tree that then produces thousands of other acorns that produce thousands of other trees that produce that. At some point, you have a forest that the birds can come and nest in. That's the same example Jesus is using. He's saying the seed of my word, though it's the smallest when it gets planted in the ground, when it grows, it'll produce a tree that will shoot out branches that the birds can nest in. Well, think about this. That seed, the imperishable seed that was sown in your heart that produced salvation, now you can take that, you yourself can reach thousands with the good news of the gospel, with the what? The seed of God's word to impact other people to be saved. You see. Same thing with healing. You begin to have healing operate in you and people say, well, what happened to you? So that seed of healing that helped you, that corrected something in your body, you now become a carrier of that, and you can impact other people. Amen. You see what God designed? He designed that we do what? We bear forth fruit. Not just in ourselves, but through us. Through us, you see. So let's jump over for a few minutes and look at Matthew 13. Well, let's jump over to Luke 8. Luke 8, and let's look at verse 4. And take a quick look at this. And it says, and Jesus now, he's speaking in a parable to the people that were assembled that came out to see him and receive from him. He said, when much people were gathered together, this is verse 4 of chapter 8, it says, and were come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. And he said here in verse 5, Jesus speaking, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was what? Trodden down. And as we were talking before, if you look up that word trodden down, it means figuratively, it means to reject with disdain, or to trample down is another word. And it says, and what happened? And the fowls of the air devoured it up. Why did they devour it up? It was trodden down. It wasn't received. It was rejected. And it says, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. This is what we were talking about here. The seed needs to be watered. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So here, This seed here, it's interesting. This seed, it appears, took root. Right? This seed took root. But what happened? It says the thorns grew along with it. So that means that it wasn't, that those thorns weren't removed out of that garden, was it? So who's the garden? We are. So when we allow other kinds of seed to take root in with the imperishable seed, in, it said what? It chokes it. It chokes it. And it what? It didn't produce. It said, and it goes on. And then it goes on in verse 7, and some, verse 8, and other fell on what? Good ground, and sprang up, and did what? Bear fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he that hath what? Ears to hear, let him hear. And then jump down to verse 11. It says, now the parable is this. Now he's unfolding this to his disciples, because his disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, well, and he explained why. And then he said, I'm going to explain this to you. He said what? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And we went on to say, and to just show you that he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, consider what you're hearing, what we were reading in Mark 4, verse 24, 25, 26. That we need to listen and pursue with intent the word of God. And as we do that, more will be given to us. More will be unfolded to us. Not just, you know, yeah, I heard that before. I don't know about that. Or sometimes thorns, when we're talking about something that lacks by the wayside, first of all, if you're talking about healing, something that's sown on a footpath or a wayside is what? Hard ground. It's something that sits on the top. So something sown in a hard heart may not receive something. Yeah, I know God saves, but, you know, I don't know about healing, right? Or it could be being filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that could be hard ground for some people, right? But as far as Jesus saving, absolutely. But some people may have a real tough time when it comes to receiving the seed concerning healing. So the seed could be hard ground for them, and it doesn't produce. Because it was what? Rejected. Right? So the same thing, the other seed in stony ground was received with joy, but it what? It lacked earth and it lacked moisture. And it didn't produce. What are we supposed to do? Keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing, keep watering, and it'll produce. So the same thing here. Some was sown on what? Thorny ground. So if we allow, and it says that the thorny ground is when it grew up, the thorns grew up, it did what? It choked the word. It strangled it. So if you get enough of that seed growing and you don't water enough and you don't get that out of your garden, how do you get stuff out of your garden? You renew your mind. You renew your mind. You plant, you keep planting and watering. You keep planting seed, watering. It has to, you know, anybody that's done gardening, if you look at even a forest, a garden or a forest, if you get trees and, you know, even in a forest, trees are stunted by the bigger trees that grow up, right? And they crowd out the sunshine, and what happens? All the little undergrowth gets stunted. Well, to me, it's the same thing. If I keep getting enough water on these plants, the good seed, they're going to grow and they're going to shut down or stunt the bad seed that may have grown up. And if you keep getting enough water, the watering is going to renew the mind and it's going to change your thinking. Revelation is going to come and it's going to change your thinking about what? Healing. And you're going to walk in health. What does it say? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So the seed will produce health and healing in my body. It has to. It has to. So this goes on, and he said, in verse 11, we'll back up, we'll do this, say this again. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now let's pick up with verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So it's going along, it's moving along to produce, but it doesn't bring fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, another scripture verse I want to look at, or scriptures. Let's turn over to John 15. And Jesus had some things to say about bringing forth fruit. And you can see this where fruit is concerned. Now, yes, it's talking about branches here, but the branches do what? Let's look in verse 1 of John 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is what? The husbandman. He's the gardener, and we're what? We're the husbandry. We're the garden. Every branch in me that beareth what? Not fruit. So we just got done looking at three types of ground that didn't bear fruit. They didn't bear fruit. He does what? He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it. That means to cleanse it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do you get cleansed up? The word. It's the word. It's the seed that cleanses us up, right? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it what? Abides in the vine. It abides in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is what? Withered. See, remember we're talking about seed not taking root and growing because what? It lacked moisture. It lacked moisture. So this is saying here, if you don't stay connected to the vine, what does it say? If he abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is what? Withered. No moisture, not being connected to the vine. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and what? His seeds, his words, do what? abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Glory to God. That's watering. That's God giving the increase. He's saying, you ask what you will, it'll be given unto you. That's increase right there, right? Herein is my Father glorified that what? You bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we are God's husbandry, and we are designed to bring forth fruit. A garden is a place of production. It's when our spirit is a garden. This heart is the garden, and it's designed to bring forth fruit. What does that mean? That means from this heart, healing comes. From this heart, prosperity comes. From this heart, life comes, right? So from this spirit, life comes. That's why I'm excited, because you know, when I think about some of the prophecies that were given to this church, Brother Copeland, and when he prophesied to Pastor Sarah back in 2003, he said, every good seed that's been planted by this ministry shall come up. It shall produce. It shall produce. Every good seed. So what is a good seed? The imperishable seed. He was talking about every seed, whether or not it's the word, whether it's finances that's been sown into other ministries and support. But every good seed that's been sown by this ministry shall produce. That means if I sow God's imperishable seed in my spirit, it shall produce after its kind. It's going to produce healing in my body. It's going to produce health in my body. Because it's imperishable, and if I keep it watered and I stay connected to the vine, I'm going to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Imperishable fruit, his kind of fruit, healing fruit, prosperity fruit, love fruit. Right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So his word, let's turn over to... Let's look at this as we're just kind of wrapping up here. Let's look at Proverbs 4 again. His word, it talks about in Proverbs 4, his word is medicine. To what? All my flesh. And what does medicine make you do? Medicine can make you whole. Medicine can help you get better. Just in the natural. So his word, so much better than natural medicine. So much better. Hallelujah. Huh?
No side effects.
No side effects. That's right. No side effects. Thank God. Take as much as you want. And it's free. Thank God for that. Been paid for. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, attend. See, this is watering now, right? Planting and watering. Attend to my words. Attend to the seed. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline your hearing unto the seed. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let what not depart from my, the seed, the word. Let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Don't tear them up. Don't get them disturbed. Don't get this doesn't work. Yes, it's working. It is working. For they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Some of the other translations are just wonderful. The Amplified says, health and healing to all their flesh. I'm sorry, healing and health to all their flesh. That's what it says in verse 22. For they are life to those that find them, healing and health to all their flesh. That's the Amplified. I like this. This is God's Word translation. Because they are life to those that find them, and they heal the whole body. Oh, yes, sir. They heal the whole body. What does? The word, the seed does. It heals my whole body. The whole body. Hallelujah. Don't let man tell you, you know, we don't disrespect people. People are, you know, they're trained to do what they do. But God's greater. Amen. They may give you some diagnosis, but His word is what? Healing to the whole body. Amen. That means His seed will make organs function that aren't functioning just right or not even functioning. It'll make things work because it's healing and health, or it's healing to the whole body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Healing and health. Praise God. Yeah. This is the Good News Translation. It says, they will give life and health to anyone who understands them. See? Glory to God. The Jerusalem Bible, it says, they are life to those who grasp them, health for the entire body. Health for the entire body. Glory to God. So we do what? We keep feeding, keep watering. And as it says, what we were reading earlier in Mark 4, verse 24, when Jesus said, take heed. Well, let me read it. I was reading from the New Living Translation and the Passion, which reads a little different, a little clearer. I like the Passion Translation. It says, for those who listen with an open heart will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. So we have to receive the Word of God, not trodden it down, not trample it, not say, I know that already, I've heard that already 100 times. No, you don't say, I've eaten potatoes 100 times. No, you eat them. Or whatever kind of food you eat. You don't say, I had that last week. No, you eat it. Why? Because your body needs what? Nourishment. So does your spirit. We live not by what? Bread alone, but by every word, every seed of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's not get tired or weary in well-doing. We'll reap if we what? Faint not. Faint not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.